Do you make conscious purchasing choices? You probably don't, because most of us operate on instinct more than reason when deciding what to buy. And understanding those human instincts can be a superpower for business owners and marketers. Here to help you unlock that power is Leslie Zane, author of The Power of Instinct: The New Rules of Persuasion in Business and Life. Leslie is a speaker and marketer and the founder of Triggers, a brand consulting firm rooted in behavioral science. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, I'm Leslie Zane, a behavioral expert, CEO of Triggers, a consulting firm that's been using behavioral science to drive business growth for 30 years, and now the author of The Power of Instinct, The New Rules of Persuasion in Business and Life. In The Power of Instinct, I show that to grow a brand, business, or even a social movement, traditional persuasion tactics fall short because human beings are essentially unpersuadable. Instead, you must connect to their instinctive mind, which is not only more malleable, it exerts the dominant influence on our decisions. To do this, you need to use techniques that work with a person's brain, not against it. You see, the rules of persuasion and marketing were developed decades ago for the conscious mind, which means the rules we've been following are not only irrelevant, they're a recipe for decline. The Power of Instinct offers a fresh, science-backed approach with new rules that empower you to bypass the conscious mind so you can avoid the pitfalls and achieve success much faster. Here are five insights from my book. The first insight, controversial as many of them are, is a brand should stand for many things, not just one. You've probably heard the old rule, a brand should stand for only one thing. You want to be focused, single-minded. If you're a Volvo, you should only stand for safety. But turns out, standing for just one thing is the key to shrinking a brand's salience in the mind. The key to growth is to have as many connections as possible. Like a game of Monopoly, the more territory you own in the mind, the better. If you were, say, a wildly successful country artist with hugely popular albums, conventional wisdom would tell you to stick with writing and performing country songs. After all, you don't want to turn off your loyal audience. What if they don't receive your new sound well? Well, Taylor Swift didn't become one of the most successful artists of all time with a billion-dollar tour in 2023 by sticking to one sound. As she leaned into her own artistic curiosity, she expanded beyond country into pop, dance music, folk, and with each new association, she's only grown her audience and her visibility. Swift also invited her fans into her life in an unusual way. We know her challenges, the people who helped her, and the ones who did not. Our relationship with Swift goes way beyond her music. It feels personal. And as she ventures into new music, she keeps reintroducing her past music to new generations. When your brand has this many connections, you create instinctive brand preference, and people are powerless to resist. Here's the second surprising rule. Familiarity is more powerful than uniqueness, and distinctiveness is best of all. The traditional rule is that uniqueness is critical for brand success. Stand out, be the purple cow, differentiate or die. We've all been trained on this one. The rule of uniqueness would tell you that if you have a bottled water brand, you better not use sparkling streams or snow-capped mountains, or even the color blue on your packaging. It's cliche, boring, generic. Except the brain science here is clear. We're hardwired to crave the familiar, not the unique. We push the unique away. 2020 is a perfect example. During pandemic panic buying, consumers didn't reach for new brands. They reached for the legacy brands that made them feel comfortable. All that was left on the shelves were the brands you'd never heard of. So let's talk about that snow-capped mountain. It has all these inherent associations that already exist in people's minds without saying them. Pure, pristine, eco-friendly, water that comes from the glaciers. Why wouldn't you want all that associated with your bottled water brand? So here's the new rule. Familiarity trumps uniqueness, and distinctiveness is best of all. Take a look at Aquafina bottled water. They did just that. They took a snow-capped mountain and rendered it in a stylized abstract design with a sharp peak and orange sunrise that's distinctive to their brand. Distinctiveness enables your brand to take a ride on what's already stored in your customers' heads. And that's the key to driving decision-making faster and more efficiently. Let's move on to rule number 3. When growth slows down, the root cause is often negative association you can't see. The traditional thinking in business is that when a brand stagnates, an external force must be at play, a sluggish economy or an aggressive competitor. But 9 times out of 10, the real culprit is much closer to home. Negative associations about the brand itself are growing inside the minds of prospective users, the people you're trying to get. Think of a brand as a seed that you plant in people's minds. As you feed it positive associations, the seed sprouts, spreading its roots. And if you treat it right, it turns into a full-grown tree. But when negative associations infiltrate your tree, that's when growth slows down or even declines. This is what happened to McDonald's a few years back. Videos showing pink slime in McDonald's chicken nuggets and food that doesn't mold had come out and gone viral. They were all a hoax, but that didn't matter. Negative associations about fake food started growing like an invasive species. But in one of the most remarkable business turnarounds in history, McDonald's started telling the real story about their food. Using imagery of fresh cracked eggs, free-range chickens, and sustainably grown potatoes from family farms, the brand started to turn around almost immediately. You see, you can't get rid of negative associations by talking about them. You have to displace negative associations with positive ones. If you don't, they will consume your tree. Let's move on to rule number 4. Your prospective customer is more valuable than your core, and your core customer is a trap. The traditional rule of marketing is that you should spend all your time cultivating loyalty with your existing customers. After all, it's easier and faster to get growth from the people who already buy from you. In fact, in a recent Gartner survey, 75% of CMOs said they would be focusing their marketing efforts on selling existing products to existing customers. But unfortunately, this rule is another myth. Your core customer is actually a trap. First, research shows that most people buy multiple brands, and there's churn in every franchise. So if you're not aggressively bringing in new customers, you have a serious leaky bucket problem, and growth is about to falter. Second, your core customer is probably already maxed out. I mean, how much more shampoo can you sell to a person that's already washing their hair once a day? And third, your core customer can't tell you what you need to do to evolve. Only prospective customers can reveal the negative associations that are holding them back from buying your brand. The core customer trap is at the heart of many a brand demise, from Sears and Toys R Us to Brooks Brothers and, more recently, Bed Bath & Beyond. Because when you're only focused on the people who already use your brand, you stop improving and evolving. And as William Burroughs said, when you stop growing, you start dying. And finally, rule number 5. Emotions are fleeting. Only supercharged codes and cues stick. Sometime in the early 2000s, behavioral science taught us that consumers make irrational decisions, which is entirely true. However, when it comes to the world of communication, most people came to the wrong conclusion about this. Their interpretation was, well, if consumers make irrational decisions, then we need to create emotional advertising and brand positionings. Make them laugh, make them cry. That'll bring them to us. But the problem is, emotion is an outcome, not an input. You can't tell people how to feel. Plus, emotions go in one ear and out the other. When it comes to communications, the key to growth is to use familiar cues and codes that match people's memories, what we call growth triggers. These succinct cognitive shortcuts in any of the five senses, verbal, visual, auditory, tactile, or olfactory, are packed with positive associations. The snow-capped mountain is an image trigger. No one grows ketchup like Heinz is a verbal trigger. So is climate change, instead of the narrower global warming. While emotions are ephemeral, growth triggers seep into memory structure because they're packed with meaning and positive associations. They're sticky. Whether you're trying to get a job, communicate with business buyers, doctors, patients, even run for office, finding growth triggers and latching them onto your brand acts like scaffolding, laying down a network of pathways that keeps your brand growing, large, positive, and distinctive. I think of it this way. We're all marketers. Most of us are trying to grow something, a business, a personal brand, a startup, our ideas, even getting our kids to do their homework. And if you want to make faster strides, then you have to stop trying to persuade people, because that comes up against a brick wall. If you follow the new rules in my book, you'll learn how to grow anything faster because you're working with people's minds instead of against them. And that's the key to success in anything you're trying to do. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy my book.
Thank you, Leslie. That was Leslie Zane with five big ideas from The Power of Instinct, The New Rules of Persuasion in Business and Life. Also have a listen to our book bite for the Culture, The Power Behind What We Buy, What We Do, and Who We Want to Be by Marcus Collins. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.